It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. I hope you're as excited as I am. I want to welcome you to the weekend we look forward to every year, President's Day weekend. Actually, it used to be a meaningful holiday, two meaningful holidays. We took one Monday off for Washington's birthday, another for Lincoln's birthday, but that wasn't viewed as fair. So now we're celebrating every president we ever had, including the lousy ones. That means we're taking the day off because of Carter, because of Clinton. And of course, do I need to say anything about Biden? It's like giving every president a participation trophy. But now let me introduce a man who deserves a real trophy, not just a participation trophy. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
And I would like to announce that I will never run for president.
I would not either. I would never go into politics at all. I feel like I have much more of a voice doing the radio than I'd ever have as a politician that had to make deals and compromise and do all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I've had people ask me, why don't I go into politics? And I just said, you know, I'm not a very good liar.
And we know that occasionally there's a politician that doesn't lie. I think the last guy that didn't lie, I think they have him in the Smithsonian somewhere.
Yeah, probably so. Now, I've got a friend, I've talked about him before on this show, that he's a local representative to the Texas Senate.
Yes, you've said good things about
him.
And he
is very honest and almost too honest. He did get reelected, so it hasn't hurt him yet, but he's had already sneak attacks, people, you know, trying to get to him and stuff. And I think that I'm going to say this at the risk of sounding super spiritual, but I think the Lord has been protecting him. We pray for him all the time. And because he's not a politician as such, I mean, he ran for office, but he's not a career guy. He kind of has a innocence about him, and he just won't play the game. So anyway, there are some like that. And if that's just one that I know personally, there has to be a few of them out there.
Well, all in all, under Trump, since these first few weeks, and it's hard to believe it's only been a few weeks, there does seem to be a work of God and a real reckoning. Let me tell you something. As they get to the bottom of all this freak out that the Democrats are having over this wasteful spending, which they know they can't justify, I think there's something way deeper underneath that they're covering up. Many things, but not the least of which, I'll go out on a limb, when they fix that 2020 election, and I'm one who's gone on record many times saying I'm absolutely 100% convinced it was fixed.
Yep.
There were people that had to get paid to fix it. There were judges that had to get paid to not hear cases. There were poll workers that had to be paid. There were people that had to be paid to bring in ballots at midnight. I believe that this is what they're on top of. And as I've often said, once they're discovered, they'll revel in it. They'll say, well, of course I fixed the election. He was Hitler. Wouldn't you have stopped Hitler? But you just watch, Jim. I know I'm going out on a limb predicting this. I already said that I thought that once Trump got into power, there would be investigations. I think that's what's going on with this freak out over Doge. Not to mention that there's probably all kinds of other hideous stuff they're covering up. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying it's only the election, but I'll bet 2020 is under there somewhere.
There's all kinds of things, and it's amazing what they've already done so far. Here's my concern. I'm concerned for the man's life. And so I have to pray that God will protect him. And we saw the assassination attempts and they were thwarted and all of that. And Trump comes out and says, God spared my life because I've got a job to do and to fix this country. But I'm just telling you that you're messing with some really treacherous, vicious, nefarious forces when you take on this stuff. And so I hope he's got the best security that a president has ever had.
So do I.
And because I think there is
we don't want to relax. Yes, I do believe God spared him, but we need to keep praying every single day for his safety and the safety of those around him, and not just physically, but legally. And Jim, we have got to do something about these judges. Our Constitution never intended for judges to overrule the president every time he sneezes. We're supposed to have separate branches of government. It was never the purpose of the Constitution to give the court that much power, not even the Supreme Court, let alone all these little peon federal judges along the way. Something has got to be done, even if it just means that the Congress and the presidency just finally say, you know what, we're going to ignore this. Biden didn't take them seriously when he was overrun, but they'll try to put Trump in jail if he does the same thing.
Yeah, he has not made a lot of friends on the opposite side. And you bring up a really solid point. And we've talked about this before. No doubt there are justices at all levels that are influenced. Maybe they're bought and bribed. Maybe they're threatened. Maybe their families are threatened. But it's a serious, serious problem. You know,
maybe they're just stupid and narcissistic, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens at every level in every profession. But, you know, since Musk has gone to work, uncovering all of these just ridiculous, exorbitant expenses, where the money's going and money's been hidden and all of this stuff, that's going to stir up a lot of stuff. And I think there's going to be a lot of uncovering of corruption and people who are being paid. You know, we've always asked, I've always wondered, how does somebody go into political office, just a regular working class bloke, and come out a millionaire?
Yeah, you know, that was a great question that Musk asked, because it happens, the least of which it happened to the Bidens.
Yeah, and so there are serious questions that need to be answered. I tell you what, for all of the things we've talked about, and I've had various opinions about Donald Trump, but what he's getting done this quickly is astounding, and I think we're going to see a whole bunch more. I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, we ain't seen nothing yet.
I love the appointments he's making to his cabinet.
It's the dream team.
And they're getting approved.
It's the Marvel's Avengers is what he's got around him.
It is. Well, and here's an irony. Many of them are powerful, strong, conservative women. And there is nothing that...
Oh, but you don't understand, Jim. If you're conservative, you're not a true woman. If you're conservative, you're not a true black. If you're conservative, you're not a true Hispanic. You just got to understand these rules that they keep making up for us.
Well, and forgive me for sounding so base, but as a whole, most of these women so far that he's been appointing and putting up there look a lot more like women than some of the people Biden had. So some of the men he had looked like women.
Well, they look a lot more like women than the biological men participating in women's sports calling themselves women, which, of course, judges are overruling Trump's thoughts on that, too, his executive orders on that.
Yeah, well, they're going to fight him at every hand. But I'm happy to know now that we can go back to understanding there are two genders, two and only two.
Oh, but that'll be overruled, Jim. We're not allowed to believe there are only two genders, and judges know best, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah. So pleased with what I've seen so far.
And I think Trump's going to win these battles, even these legal battles, at least most of them. But it still bugs me that he has to go through this at every turn.
Well,
there's something
like,
what is it, like 50 lawsuits now? I've lost count.
Yeah. Well, what else are they going to do? You know, they're going to pull out all the stops. They're going to fight him on every level, but...
And these are the people always lecturing us that elections have consequences. And judges are overturning the will of the people. They know Trump was put into power. They know he's only doing what he promised to do, what he ran on. And for the sake of democracy, these judges are overturning it.
Well, I think there's going to have to be some serious changes in the system. But we're at a start. It's a good start. I love what I've seen. Here we are just barely into...
We're at the early stages of a roller coaster ride like none other.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm feeling good about all of that. I'm pleasantly surprised, and I'm happy about that because the last 4 years were just miserable. And even his fourth year in his first term, they fought him so much and they resisted. They did everything they could to obstruct him. So it's just refreshing to finally see good news.
Well, he's got a cabinet that won't backstab him now. He learned quickly. Yeah. Okay, Jim, hold with me.
Yeah, okay.
You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. Thank you.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And we're back again, folks. Now, I understand, I know that Brandon's not with us on the show tonight, so we won't have the stuff Jim Barrier. So I'm just going to go ahead, just to get a little taste of it. We had Strangers on the Shore by Akerbilk, and then we just came back with Dave Brubeck and Take Five. So that was just to kind of appease that little trivia thing for those.
Yeah, there's just nothing better than Dave Brubeck when it comes to jazz.
Oh, he was the best. Yeah, he's the that's real jazz. The stuff today that they call jazz, for me.
Well, there's different kinds. It's not that incoherent jazz where they're trying to seize the tune from another player, but I love Dave Brubeck.
I do too. And so thank you again for playing that. You've selected some great bumper music. So now, and thanks. I'm glad we got to talk a little bit because I was a little conflicted because I talked with you about the subject for tonight. But, there was so much that needs to be said about the current administration and where we're going as a country. So I'm glad we got to do that a little bit in the first segment. Now, tonight is going to be a little departure. This is the show with Bob Siegel is about pop culture in part. We talk, that's part of the lead into it, Christian's perspective and pop culture and politics and other things. And, you know, when I met you, Bob, I was doing a show with Gary Young called Resistance Radio. We talked about some controversial things within the church and Christianity in this day and age. And because that show was so successful, the station came to us and said, would you guys like to do another show about sports? And, of course, we jumped all over that. So we had a
and that's your other wheelhouse. Show. One of them is music and the other one is sports. Yeah. Well, and Christianity, obviously.
Yeah. And I love that. And we used to do the sports show. One of my favorite, every once in a while, we would do sports hate. And I would explain, in sports, it's okay to hate. It's like the Old Testament, hate your enemy. So we would say, call us and tell us, what sports figure or team do you hate and why? And boy, the boards would light up.
I actually wanted to ask you about that, but finish your thought for now and I'll get back to it.
Yes.
That's very timely with what happened at the Super Bowl and the aftermath of the Super Bowl.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about largely the Super Bowl and sports tonight. Just wanted to give a little report, a little reflection on that. And I probably am more of a sports follower than you are.
I'm not even in the same stratosphere.
So I just wanted to give a little reflection about Super Bowl 59 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. It had a record attendance.
Did you just say Super Bowl 59? Oh, you mean the 59th Super Bowl, not the year.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. 59th Super Bowl.
It's been going for almost 6 decades. And so that's pretty crazy because I remember the first time they had one. And it wasn't all that super the first time they had it. They didn't even call it that. They just had the playoff game between the NFC champion, the AFL champion. And now it's Super Bowl, and it's a huge, huge event.
It's the biggest sporting event for Americans, right? Wouldn't you say it's way bigger to people than the World Series?
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually, I think they should just go ahead and declare it a national holiday.
Well, a lot of people have been talking about that, but why not just declare Monday a holiday for the Super Bowl instead of always having it on a Sunday?
I'm all for it myself, but 127.7 million people, according to Nielsen, watched the show, and so it's gone up. It took a drop for a few years because of all the politics and all the kneeling and all of that nonsense, and people quit watching, but it's kind of climbed back in. They've done a concentrated effort to try to win back people and say, do a little more flag waving and a little bit of, you know, trying to make it more patriotic on some levels, though I think, as we're going to see as I talk about this, this evening, it really still has that.
Well, didn't they have, and I didn't see it. I was actually on the air last week talking to the two people that don't watch the Super Bowl over the air. But during the halftime show, I heard that, didn't that borderline on the political, I didn't see it. I just saw clips of it on the news.
It wasn't borderline at all. It was just a slap. It was a punch. We will get to that about the halftime. One of the things that, this is one of my favorite things about the Super Bowl, Donald Trump became the first president to attend a Super Bowl. Can you believe that?
That surprised me when I heard that. I would not have thought that would have been the case.
And you know what? When they showed him on the Jumbotron, the crowd cheered. And that was a surprise. And I was tickled to see that. Now, and then we move on with the thing. Now, they opened up, before they sang the real national anthem, they do this thing now, the black national anthem. It's a song called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And it's, you know, it's not a bad song. The lyrics are pretty good, but the whole thing, it's this whole thing about how the blacks have been mistreated, so we have to balance things out. So we have a black national anthem. The first time they used it in the Super Bowl was in 2020, following the death of George Floyd, who somehow became a hero to people.
Jim, how much money would you say so many of the black football stars who were playing in the Super Bowl make? When they want to make this issue about how bad blacks get treated, that is certainly a fair indictment on the history of our country. It is not what's going on anymore, not in general. We've had a black president. We have black millionaires. Yeah, we have black movie stars. We have black football players. They're getting millions of dollars in salaries.
Yeah. Again, it's the tail wagging dog.
It's just dividing up the country again. It's just a divisive thing.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, I have a problem with that whole thing, though. If there's a black national anthem, why isn't there a Hispanic national anthem?
And an Asian national anthem? Exactly. How about a Jewish national anthem?
Irish American national anthem. Yeah, there needs to be one for everybody. I mean, let's be fair, but it's the reaction. And I'm going to lay a lot of this at the foot of President Barack Obama, who was the most divisive president in history, playing the race.
And right after he was elected, his attorney general, Eric Holder, said, this country needs to have a discussion about race. Well, first of all, we had just elected a black president for the first time. When self-righteous politicians or activists say we need to have a discussion, they're not talking about a discussion. A discussion means two people are talking and two people are listening to each other. What he means is you need to hear another sanctimonious lecture. It just drives you nuts.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, we've been having that discussion since I was a child. You know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and then civil rights was happening. I mean, we have had the discussion, and we have made great headway. As you pointed out, there are black men and women who are heads of companies, CEOs, head coaches in sports, top paid players, movie stars who have won Oscars, and ultimately we had a black president.
And of course, racism still exists in places. Yes, there are still bigots who hate blacks, but there's a lot of bigotry on both sides, and we need to talk in generalities. As a general rule, Americans don't feel that way anymore, at least until we gather up little kindergarten kids in DEI seminars and tell them that they're like that.
And good news is we're getting rid of the DEI program, so I'm glad about that. So anyways, it got off to a bad start for me. I wasn't crazy about all of that hoopla at the start. The game itself, for me, was very, very boring. It was probably boring for everybody except for Eagles fans, because it was a blowout. Kansas City wasn't even in the game.
No, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I kept hearing all these Kansas City fans, and this is their fans talking, saying they didn't even show up. And it is interesting in sports. You're a hero when you win, and boy, when you lose, your fans just turn on you. So going back to your comment about the game where it's okay to hate, How do you feel about that as a Christian? Because it seems to me that trying to imagine how these guys feel. They made it to the Super Bowl. You got to be pretty good to make it to the Super Bowl. Okay, they had a lousy game, but their fans need to turn on them like that?
Well, and when I talk about sports hate, when we did it on the show, to me it's more tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is with you, but there's some fans that are really like that.
Oh, there are.
It's very serious.
They're very serious about it. When I lived there in San Diego, I had season tickets for both the San Diego Padres and the then San Diego Chargers, who have since committed anathema and moved to Los Angeles.
It's anathema for anybody to move to Los Angeles, not just the Chargers. Well, okay, Jim, hold with me over the break. Yeah. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. Around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric. Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay, now just a last thought about this, the sports hate thing. A big part of sports, not only in this country, but in England and everywhere where sports is popular, rivalries are a big part of the game. And so that's kind of what the sports hate thing is about. It's rivalries. It's teams that, in my case, growing up in San Diego, the teams in L.A. were always beating us up. And so I grew to really dislike Los Angeles sports franchises because, quite frankly, they were the older stepbrother that just always picked on us. So that's part of the sports hate thing. Now, back to the Super Bowl, for me, really, and I'm not the only one like this, but the two main reasons to watch the Super Bowl are the commercials and the halftime show. They always have great commercials, at least they usually do. This year, they were fairly underwhelming. There weren't really any memorable commercials for me. The one I would have liked featured Harrison Ford driving a Jeep.
Is that one they were going to do and decided not to do?
No, they did it, but it opens up.
Oh, it started out good and didn't end up good.
Well, it started off bad because the first thing he says is, life doesn't come with an owner's manual. And for Harrison, I beg to differ. There is an owner's manual. It's called the Bible. And if you ever read it and followed its instructions, your life would be infinitely better. So that kind of turned me off. It would have been a good commercial if he hadn't said that. I understand what he was trying to get at. But the reality is we live in a postmodern era and a post-Christian era. And so considering the Bible a manual for life is kind of passe. It's kind of archaic. We're a dinosaur if we hold to that. So there weren't any great commercials. And then the halftime show, oh my gosh, giant step backward. Now, the star of the halftime show was hip-hop phenomenon Kendrick Lamar. He's a big, big star.
And hadn't he done the halftime show before?
Well, he was a guest. He came on with Snoop Dogg a couple of years ago, but he was the main star this year. And Samuel L. Jackson had a big role in it. He takes the stage dressed up as Uncle Sam. In reality, he was Uncle Tom. And the whole thing was a pot shot at America about the blacks are mistreated and everything.
Yeah, and again, what's the figure of Samuel Jackson's salary? I'd like to see how mistreated he is.
Yeah, no kidding. Poor Jack, as they call him, his friend, Samuel L. Jackson, he wasn't allowed to say MF through the whole thing. That's kind of his signature thing.
That's got to hurt.
Anyway, that's got to hurt. And it was weird. I mean, and at one point, Serena Williams comes on stage, the great tennis star, and she did a thing called the Crip Walk. It's a dance move used by the Crips, which are one of the largest, most violent gang associations, street gangs in the United States. And she did the Crip Walk, which is a thing where she spells out C-R-I-P with her feet. This is supposed to be mainstream America? I don't think so. So this thing's going on. Meanwhile, sitting up in the stands in luxury boxes are Paul McCartney, one of the biggest stars in the last 60 years. He's done the halftime show for Super Bowl before, but he's up there as a spectator. Taylor Swift was there. I'm not a big fan of hers, but she's the biggest star in the world right now.
And not at the Super Bowl so much. I understood she got booed as much as Trump got applauded.
She got booed. But see, that was sports hate because her boyfriend plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, you see. And so that was really what that was about. So Taylor has a phenomenal following, and they call them Swifties. And I have friends that are really, really hard. I have a friend lives right up the street from me, and she's actually the daughter of close friends of mine, but she flew to England to see a Taylor Swift concert in a soccer stadium over there. And that's hardcore. And then she came home. She lives, and she wow. She comes home, and she lives in Tennessee, and she went to a soccer game in Tennessee, but she went to a Taylor Swift concert in the UK. I said, you're very, very confused.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah, Taylor Swift got booed, but I'm just saying, here you have two of the biggest pop icons ever, and they're just sitting up there watching this game, and I'm sure if you asked either one of them, they would have said, oh, it was a great halftime show. In fact, Kendrick Lamar has recorded one of Taylor's songs, but the whole thing for me left me very, very flat. And actually, even
what was the public reaction overall to the halftime show?
Well, people who love hip-hop and people who love to stir the pot, the people that are, you know, kind of the angry blacks and sympathizers, they probably loved it, but overall it got pretty bad reviews because it didn't appeal to mainstream America, much less football people who might be a little redneck sometimes. A middle America, you know, football is huge here in Texas.
Well, most Americans love football, so it could be a time to bring people together and unite them. That's why doing these divisive things doesn't make any sense.
And it didn't. In fact, at one point in the show, he had this troupe of dancers that they were amazing choreography, but they were dressed in red, white, and blue suits. At one point, they formed an American flag, and then he comes down in the middle of it and splits it, as symbolizing there's a division in America.
Yeah, well, there is, and he's one of the ones doing the division.
Exactly. So here for me, the commercials were a strike. The halftime was a strike. The game was a strike. They struck out. And it was 4 hours of my life that I will not get back. But I'll be a fool and probably watch it again next year. So that's my take on the Super Bowl. Now, that will segue into the question. Should Christians participate in sports or attend them and pay money to watch sports? Should Christians even be involved in the whole sports thing?
Well, they had the Olympics in the days of the New Testament, and Paul used Olympics as an analogy often.
Oh, you're stealing my thunder. Yeah. Does God care who wins? That's a really good question.
I don't know if he cares who wins, but I don't think God sees anything wrong with us having a competitive spirit. As long as it's not the kind of competitive spirit where you're angry and you hate your team for losing, we don't need.
Yeah.
But competition and trying to better yourself is good for human beings.
Yeah, and as you said, Paul used sports as an example. And if it was evil in and of itself, he would not use that.
Not at all. He compared the prize in the Olympic Games to the prize he's going to get in heaven for enduring.
He even talked about shadow boxing. You know, which I think is funny. I've always been amused at the professional boxers who are Christians, and they just get through beating the guy's brains out, and then at the end they go, I want to thank the Lord.
Well, you can almost make a case about boxing. That's the closest thing to the gladiators that we have. I mean, we're not telling the boxers to kill each other, but some of them are coming pretty close.
Apparently you haven't watched MMA, because that's the thing that's all the rage. It's too violent for me. Anyway. Here's a couple of quotes. I love this. I'll tell you who it is after I read the quote. This athlete says, "My Christian faith plays a role in everything that I do. I always ask God to lead me in the right direction and let me be who I am for his name. I want to make sure I'm glorifying him while I do it." That was Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's another one. "I keep God in the center of everything. I give him all the praise. I lean on him all the time." That was Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now I ask you, who is God?
Who's on God's side? If you wanted to get into the metaphysics, how was God dealing with the prayers that obviously both teams and both sets of fans were making?
Yeah, and I would imagine, that the Lord is pleased that any professional athlete or public person would mention him and give him credit and give him honor. But the point of it is I don't think that God takes sides in games. I think it's good to pray that they don't get hurt and that they're successful and all of that. But, I don't think I could ever pray and ask God to help my team win. So I think I'm going to leave him out of the equation. But I'm also going to say I don't think there's anything wrong. As you said, I think it's okay to watch sports. Or if you are gifted and called to be a professional athlete or an athlete at a high school or college level, even if you're a Christian, I think that's perfectly fine. As long as you, as Paul said, do everything to the glory of God.
Yeah, and look at Eric Little, who they made the movie Chariots of Fire about, and how important God was to his life. And God, he was very clear, God is number one, but I also love running. I love that line in the movie that I assume he really said. He says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure."
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great film. Folks, if you've never seen that film, it came out years ago, Chariots of Fire.
And won Best Picture of the Year, even though it was a strong Christian film. Okay, Jim, hold with me. We'll be right back.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love, and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
And we are reflecting on Super Bowl 59 that just happened a week ago. Check this out. $1.5 billion were legally wagered on the Super Bowl last week.
And that sounds like a better usage of money than any of the things Elon Musk is uncovering in Congress.
Well, yeah. And at least, you know, it's legal.
At least it's something you can understand. Some people are making some money instead of losing money.
Well, the house always wins. And in this case, the sports books won real big because it was such a lopsided thing. And they play a point spread and all
that.
Yeah,
even the people betting on the point spread must have been disappointed since it was such a blowout
game. Oh, my gosh, yeah. So my question is, what about gambling? Is gambling a sin?
Oh, I have a good answer for that, Jim. It all depends on whether you lose or win.
You know, why didn't I think of that?
No, I actually do have a real answer for that. When somebody goes on vacation, let's say they're going on vacation to Vegas, okay?
Yeah.
In any vacation, we put aside money that we're going to use to splurge. So it's like this much money for entertainment or to go and see a show or to have a nice dinner or to see a movie.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I'm going to give myself $100 to sit at a blackjack table, but they're disciplined, and that's the key thing because a lot of people who gamble are not disciplined. And he says, but if I lose that $100, I'm not putting up any more. And if I win, that's fine. As long as I'm winning, it's fine. But if I get below the $100 I started with, that's all I budgeted. But if somebody's gambling their life savings or they're just having this neurotic problem with it, I've been at blackjack games and it gets so exciting that you don't want to quit even with your, if you're winning, even though that's the smart thing to do. So I can understand how addicting it can be. I haven't succumbed to it, but I do understand that. So if it's an addiction, certainly it's wrong, as any addiction would be wrong. But like so many of the things that Scripture comments on, in moderation, as I qualified it, I believe it's okay.
Yeah, and I do too. And I love what, you know, the examples you give, the different types of entertainment. And nobody seems to have a problem if someone goes to, well, most time, going to the movies or going out to a nice dinner. And people don't immediately jump to a conclusion that that is sinful or wrong. And I think gambling can be that. The problem
it's like going to a video arcade, but you say, I only have so much money that I'm going to spend at the video arcade. I don't see the difference.
Yeah. But it can become an addiction.
Absolutely. And it often does. And therefore, it's probably more often than not a serious problem.
Yeah. And there are groups. You can get in support groups, gamblers, you know, all of the things. If you, you know, on the commercials for drugs and pharmaceuticals, at the bottom, there's always a little disclaimer. Talks about all the things, the wrong things that could happen to your body if you take this drug. Well, they do that on the commercials for the gambling online sites, which there were flooded with those. And there's always a thing, if you think you have a gambling problem, call this number. So they're covering their backside with that. But
that reminds me of the time I was on my computer and there was some pop-up for an ad to put anti-pop-up programs on my computer.
I believe it.
That's what I think of those public service announcements.
Yeah. So, well, here's some of the rhetoric, you know, when people use. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Well, that's true. But that could be applied to any misuse of money or use of money. If money becomes your God, you got a problem. And Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon or money. And my favorite, as Ricky Ricardo said to Lucy, roughly quoting Proverbs 10, You've gotten gold is no one's gain.
All right, Lucy, splain.
Splain, you got a lot of splaining to do, Lucy. But the Bible really doesn't come out and say anything about it. Now, I have done this because I've had a lot of people ask me questions about these things. Gambling is a huge industry in our culture right now. That's at an all-time high. So does gambling occur in the Bible?
Well, the Romans gambled for Christ's garment, but that's probably not the best example to use.
Well, actually casting lots, which is similar to throwing dice, Joshua cast lots.
Well, of course, that wasn't for money. That was to seek guidance from God.
Yeah. And Nehemiah cast lots, and the apostles cast lots to choose Matthias as Judas Iscariot's replacement. So there are examples of kind of a chance thing, but as you said, they weren't doing it to win money, and it was not what you would call entertainment or much less an
addiction. They wouldn't have called that gambling. They would have called that entreating the Lord. Okay, Jim, hold with me for one more brief segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and one more segment with Jim Barrier.
Okay, so we're on a kind of a tasty subject here. We're talking about gambling. Now, I have known families in my life, church members, that didn't allow a deck of cards in their house because of gambling phobia.
Some people will say that decks of cards resemble the tarot cards. I don't have a problem with playing cards, but I'm just saying that's what some people make the connection with.
Well, and religion always leans toward finding the list that you can check off and say, well, I don't do this, I don't do that. I thank God that I'm not like that gambler over there.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do that. It's kind of human nature for us to do that. But myself, I don't have an issue with people. Here's where I am with all of this. I think right and wrong, morality, immorality, sin, and righteousness has more to do with the motive of the heart. Why you do what you do, and who are you doing it for? And in that case, I think you could have a friendly game of cards. You could go to Las Vegas. There's probably very limited things that you can go and see there as a Christian, but you can. There's some great food. I know that. But what is your heart? Are you honoring God? Now, I'm going to do some true confessions right here on the Bob Siegel Show, and everybody's listening. And then I know sometimes you publish these things later on as podcasts. So I'm going to go on record here, and it cannot be retrieved once I talk about this. I will be going to Las Vegas in March, and I've been doing this now for about 15 years with my closest friend here in San Antonio. He's a Christian man, a great guy. And we went out one time on a lark. Someone had said something to him about going out there during March because we're big college basketball fans. And I love the college sports way more than I love pro sports. And so we went out for the opening weekend of the NCAA Division I men's basketball tournament. They call it March Madness. Someone said, you know, if you go out there to Las Vegas, you can go to a sports book, and they've got dozens of screens, big screens, and you can watch every game. Sometimes there are four games going on at once, and you can watch them all and just sit there and binge on hoops. And we said, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's go try it. So we went out and really enjoyed it. And here's what happened, Bob. We went to the same place every year for years, and we got to know the staff there. And, you know, people come from all around for this event, and we got to know people from all over the country that came every year for this week to watch these basketball games. And at one point, after we've been there a few years, one of the guys said, we're kind of like your Las Vegas congregation, aren't we? Because they, you know, they always find out I said, yeah, you are. And I mean, I was praying with bartenders and
well, but that's like when the Pharisees accused Jesus of sitting and eating with drunkards and sinners.
Exactly.
I could totally picture Jesus doing something like that.
I could too. And now you can picture me doing that.
Well, I was already able to picture you doing it, Jim.
We're watching games, and I love college basketball, and we're watching games. And the guy to my right says, so where are you from? I said, San Antonio. And he said, well, what do you do there? Well, that's the big question. Because as soon as I answer that, all kinds of reactions take place. And I said, well, I pastor an inner city church. And sometimes they just shut you off or they run and hide or whatever. And he said, oh, could I talk to you about something?
Well, yeah, and it probably in a very positive way shattered his image of a minister being some kind of stuffed shirt.
Oh, that was my mission, was to destroy the stereotype of what a pastor is. So I said, well, I'm a pastor. He says, could I talk to you? I said, sure. And he calls his wife over closer, and he says, we're having some trouble in our marriage. And now I find myself, I'm doing marriage counseling at a bar in a casino in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And we talk.
Well, Jim, we're going to have to leave it. We're going to have to leave it there. But it's always great having you on, and we'll have you on again really soon.
Very good.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.